Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoyed this message.
So it is my honor today to be able to lead us and continue us in this series, Freedom Lives Here. Who's been blessed by this series, Freedom Lives Here? I hope that you've found some freedom, and I hope that we get to continue that journey here today. But as you remain standing, if you didn't get a control note sheet, go ahead and raise your hand. The ushers will get that control note sheet to you. That control note sheet has our scriptures on there, points on there, so you could keep notes. You could take notes, and you could keep up with where we're going in the scripture, because it's the Word of God that we'll learn today that will continue to fuel your freedom, continue to fuel your freedom. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. The New Living Translation puts verse 14 this way. It says, "So you must live as God's obedient children." You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, he says. You didn't know any better then. The truth is we don't have to teach this flesh, our flesh being our sinful nature. We don't have to teach this humanity of ours to sin, okay? We don't have to teach it to sin. Our default, our natural default without the Spirit of God living inside of us is sin, okay? So if you stay away from God long enough, if you stay out of his word long enough, if you refuse to pray long enough, your default will always be sin. You will always revert back to sin because it is this humanity that is fallen. It is this humanity that is cursed. But thank God that Jesus came and set us free so that we could have his Spirit, because the Spirit is stronger. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The Spirit is stronger." But we'll reach this plateau. We'll reach this moment where we relied on God, we're filled with his Spirit. And then we get to this point that inhibits our growth from going any further. It's this point that says, "I got it from here. I got it from here." I want to minister you a message today entitled, "I Will Not." I will not. And the capital, the I is lowercase on purpose, okay? The I is lowercase on purpose for my grammar police that are out there, okay? But I will not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for today, Lord God. We open up our hearts to you. We open up our spirits to you, Lord Father. We thank you for this moment that we get together, Lord God, to be able to encourage your people, to lift up and to build up, Father. We pray for Pastor Josiah right now, God, as he's ministering in Sacramento, Father, that you would use him as you always do, as he's trained us up here, Father God. You would have that same impartation taking place up in Sacramento at New Seasons Church, Lord. May they be blessed and may they be built up, Father. So we thank you. We thank you for today, Father. May your Holy Spirit come and minister to us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I will not. I will not." Before we do go any further, I just want to pay honor where honor is due to our amazing pastors. Come on, give it up for Pastor Simon, Pastor Marie Silva. Don't you guys just love coming to Freedom House? They were obedient. They did not fall back into their sinful ways, and God has blessed them tremendously. They have stayed the course every step of the way, and I know my family is definitely greater for that. An honor, of course, to my wife who is up here in the front row. It's funny, I was having a conversation in between services, and they're like, "How's your day been?" And I'm like, it's good. And I think sometimes like you ask pastors that, you ask like some of our, like the elders, the key leaders, and you're like, how's your day been? And you expect to be like, oh man, I just blessed, you know, God is moving. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's good. Busy, just trying to get three kids ready to be here at church on time this morning. But, you know, but we're here and we made it, praise God, because sometimes you really need the Spirit of God just to help get your kids dressed. But somebody say amen, because you know it's true. Parents out there, you know what I'm talking about. But I will not, okay? I got it from here. It's one of the lies that leads us down a train of thought, that leads us back into old habits, that leads us into working out of willpower versus spirit power, okay? We don't come to church here today because we want more willpower. We come to church here today because we want more of God's power. We want more of God's word in our lives. And if you say, well, I don't want to be God, you're right. Don't be God, but let his power flow through you, okay? Let his power flow through you. Because the moment you take it on and you say, well, I have enough willpower to get through this, is the moment you start to decline, okay? Is the moment you start to decline. Ever know somebody who they don't know how to embrace the journey? They don't know how to embrace the journey. Like they want to know the end. They want to know, okay, well, what's it going to equal? How can I weigh my cost so I can see if the journey is even worth it or not? The journey is always worth it, okay? You will never get rich without putting in work. You will never be smart without learning from somebody else. You'll never be able to get to where you want to get to by skipping steps. You'll never get to where you want to get to by skipping steps. You see, nowadays it's so convenient for us because we feel if I just put on a YouTube video and I find out, I could skip all the hard part. No, you may learn faster, but you'll never skip the journey. And you'll never skip the toughest parts in life that help you get to that place of achievement. Help you get to that place of achievement. My wife, she's a Google fanatic. She loves it, especially in suspenseful movies. I'm like, what do you think is gonna happen? Well, I already Googled it. Why would you Google it? Why are we even watching the movie? You Googled the end. You want me to tell you? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Or it's gonna. But we get like that in our walk with God. Is God, you know what? Yeah, I've trusted you to this point, but I'm just gonna take things into my own hands from this point going forward. I already know, I know enough to get myself through it. Pastor Louis talked about this morning about growing and being obedient. And when we begin to take things into our own hands, we say, you know what, I've been obedient to a certain point, but I think I can fend for myself from this point going forward. It's like going to dinner at a nice restaurant and you eat the salad and you're satisfied. Eat the salad and you're satisfied. I was going to lunch with my mother-in-law this past Friday. And I was like, okay, well, where do you want to go? She's like, I really want a good burger. And I'm like, okay, well, naming out some good burger spots. She's like, but how's their salad? So you want burger or salad? Well, I want a burger, but I only want to go if they have a good salad. She didn't know I was going to use this, but I knew right away when she was telling me this is going to preach on Sunday. And what happens is we get so satisfied off of an appetizer. We get so satisfied off of a little bit of being free that we never get the full measure of freedom of Jesus in our lives. We'll only get to that appetizing course. And even though God's like, I got so much more that's coming for you. This steak that I have on the grill for you, this burger that is marinating for you, that I have prepared for you, is waiting there. But if you don't allow yourself to get there because you get caught up in the appetizer, you'll never experience the full measure that Jesus has for us. Point number one, if we're going to live by the Spirit's power and not by willpower, we must know that a taste of free is not freedom. A taste of free is not freedom. The Bible tells in Ephesians 4, chapter 13, it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. You see, I begin to see this in my three-year-old. My three-year-old is smart, and he's getting to that stage where he's starting to catch on to everything. He'll be four in July. And, you know, as good parents, we're trying to teach him that if you want to live a life of fullness, you have to be a Yankee fan. And so, I know, Pastor Sia's going to be so mad. You preach the Yankees on my podcast, Pastor B-Flow. No, I'm just... We're Yankee fans, okay? Y'all don't gotta be Yankee fans, but we're gonna reach the fullness, okay? But we're Yankee fans. We're Yankee fans, and so we're trying to teach our son, like, hey, this is, we're Yankee fans. We cheer for the Yankees. But he's got all of these deceitful people in his life, like my mom, my brother-in-laws, like all these people who are just like, go Dodgers. And so he'll be like, no, Dad, it's go Dodgers, not go Yankees. And I'm like, the Spirit of God is... That lying enemy is just trying to deceive you. And so often what will happen in our lives is we'll get a taste of what it is to be free. We'll respond to an altar call. We'll sit in a service similar to today, and we'll hear how God has forgiven us of our guilt and our shame, and there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And we'll get satisfied with knowing that one scripture. We'll get satisfied with knowing that we've been forgiven of all that lays behind us, that we never step into the destiny and the purpose that God put us here for in the first place. That he put us here for in the first place. You see, if we stop at being free, we'll never attain the full measure. We'll fall for all of the devil's tricks. We'll fall for being deceived. We'll become what I call a gullible believer. We'll fall into what I call being a gullible believer, where we'll have a moment of freedom, but because we're not, well, we'll have a moment of being free, but because we never strive for full freedom, our children will never have that full freedom. Our marriage will never have the full breakthrough that God wanted for you. The generational curses and strongholds that have been there for years, you'll be released of the sting and the condemnation, but you'll never replace it with the promises of God, and those that come behind you will never see the promise, they'll only see the curse, and they'll fall right back down that same bunny trail. We have to be believers that aren't gullible. We have to be believers that don't just get satisfied with an appetizer, that don't just get satisfied with knowing that we've been forgiven, but knowing that we've been put on purpose, that there is a full measure, that there is a stake that is waiting for us, that there is a kingdom that needs to be built, that there are people that are waiting to hear your testimony. But if you get caught up at the appetizer, you'll check out before somebody else can come and check in with you to see who set you free. When we don't strive to attain the full measure, we tell Jesus, I got it from here. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the appetizer. Thank you for the fried pickles. Thank you for the mozzarella sticks. Thank you for the zucchini sticks that looked like mozzarella sticks. You fooled me. I'm already falling for the devil's traps. But we'll begin to live, to speak, to make decisions out of our will and not out of his Spirit. And when we begin to talk, when we begin to make decisions out of our will and not his Spirit, we fall right back into those former passions that Peter was talking about. You see, we'll come and we'll feel the forgiveness of the infidelity that maybe took place in your marriage, or you'll feel the forgiveness of being separated from your wife or not being in your children's life or having to go through that trial and having to go through that process with authorities, and you'll come and you'll have that forgiveness, but you'll never step into the promise. And so your marriage will be healed for a season. Your marriage will be on track for a time. But then you'll start to make decisions. You'll start to speak. You'll start to see the way you used to, which got you to that point in the first place. Peter says it best himself. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip. Don't be deceived. It's not a part of the plan. It's a slip. It's an accident. Nobody said you meant to do it. But that's why I'm here today, to bring awareness. Don't slip back into your own power. Don't slip back into your own way of thinking. Because your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires, because you didn't know any better back then. Turn to your neighbor and say, I didn't know any better back then. But now I do. Point number two, if we're going to live by the Spirit's power and not our willpower, we have to know the difference between willpower and Spirit power. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What's the difference between willpower and Spirit power? Well, willpower is not patient. Willpower is easily agitated. Willpower makes decisions off of emotion and feeling. Willpower sees what's at hand, not what's at stake. Willpower will see what's in front of you, not the ramifications that come with the decision that you make. It feels emotions and feelings, not discernment. Willpower is intimidated by fear. Willpower is intimidated by fear. But what is Spirit power? Spirit power is peace. It's joy. It's love. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's kindness. It's patience. It's having an overcoming spirit. It's being able to endure no matter what situation you may find yourself in, no matter what be coming against you, no matter what financial situation you might be in, no matter how many people have turned their backs on you, no matter how many rumors have been spread about you, no matter when your family turned your back on you, it is the Spirit of God that helps you to endure, to help you to continue to love, to help you continue to forgive, to say, you know what? I know where I came from. I'm not going back anymore. I'm not going to rely on the willpower. I'm going to rely on Spirit power. I got it from here, Jesus. I got it from here. Romans 10:3 says, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Willpower says we'd rather be right in our own eyes than to be right by God's precepts. We would rather be right in our own eyes than to be right by God's precepts. Being right by God's precepts is not always the easiest way out. Okay, but if the easiest way out was always the right decision, then you wouldn't be here. If the easiest way out was the right way, then you would have never had any reason to ask for forgiveness. If the easiest way out was always the right way, then you would be satisfied in everything you do. Because our humanity, our sinful nature, will take the easy way out 10 out of 10 times if we let it. Our sinful nature will take the easy way out 10 out of 10 times if we let it. Because our human nature doesn't want to be disciplined. Our human nature doesn't want to be told what to do. Our human nature doesn't want to be taught. Our human nature says, I got it, I know, and I'm gonna do it myself. I know that this is what I probably should do, but that would be too tough. I'd have to have too many tough conversations. I'd have to walk away from this relationship, and God, that's just too tough. I don't think my heart can deal with it. I'd have to leave this job, and then God, what would I do? What money would I make if I walked away from this job, God? willpower, intimidated by fear, fuels our feelings, makes us make emotional decisions rather than God decisions. Zechariah 4:6 says it this way. He says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might and not by power. Turn to your neighbor and say, not by might and not by power. Your breakthrough is not going to be by might and it's not going to be by power. Your healing is not going to be by might and it's not going to be by power. If it was by might and power, you would have been there already. You would have done that already. But the truth is there's nothing in our humanity that we can do when God is meant to do it for us. It says, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You can strive, you can strain yourself, you can run your mind into the ground, you could get anxiety, you could get depressed, you could get worked down, but it's because you're trying to do it out of your willpower and not God's power. Because when God intervenes, when God gets involved, there is nothing that could come against it. The Bible tells us if God be for us, who could come against us? And we strive and we labor and we wear ourselves down and we bang ourselves over the head because we're trying to open doors that God never put there. We're trying to open doors that there's not another side to. But when we rely on the Spirit power, when we rely on God's power, He gets involved. And when God gets involved, there's nothing that can stop you. When God gets involved, you don't get satisfied with the appetizer. When God gets involved, you don't want to do it your way because you're like, God, I've tried doing it my way. I don't want to end up back at square one. I want to end up where you would have me be. Turn to somebody and say, I will not. I will not. Point number three. It's what leads us into making decisions that make sense in our own mind. It's what leads us into making decisions that seem reasonable to us. It's what leads us into taking the easy way out rather than trusting God. But if we're gonna live by the Spirit power and not by our willpower, then point number three, we're gonna need to know that He is with us even when we don't hear Him. We're gonna need to know that He is with us even when we don't hear Him. As the student and young adult pastor, it's the phrase that we hear the most is, well, I just don't hear God. Like, I don't know, like, is He there? Which is the funniest thing to me because it's like, if we're talking about the same God and He's the creator of the world, then is it possible for Him not to be there? Thought about it? Yeah, no, maybe. No, it's not possible for Him to not be there. He is God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He breathed life into today. He set the earth in motion today. He set the winds in motion today. He said, you know what? I'm tired of this overcast California weather in June. We're bringing the sun back out. Somebody say amen. But what do we do when we feel like we're not hearing God? We don't need an audible translation to hear Him. See, God is always speaking. His Spirit is always with us. It's not a matter of, well, I've been relying on my own power because I haven't heard God's voice. Those are a lot of pages, and those are a lot of words that if you ever feel like you can't hear Him, all you gotta do is read Him because He made Himself available to you. It doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It doesn't matter if it's hot. It doesn't matter if there's traffic. It doesn't matter what took place. It doesn't matter if your boyfriend broke up with you, your girlfriend broke up with you. It don't matter if your kids left the house. God is always speaking. He left a book and He called it His holy word. so that we always have access to him, even when we feel in our emotions like he's not speaking to us. You see, I love what David says. I love what David says in Psalm 23, and we're gonna end here, worship team. Begin to land the plane. Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know, it's funny because being raised in church and being a young believer is, every time this scripture is read, it's almost like, oh man, you read this verse in like a daunting situation. You read this passage when everything's not going your way. When things are going against you, when you can't catch a break, you begin to read this verse. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He says, "For you are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Lighting team, go ahead and hit those lights. Psalm 23, 4. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The reality of it is that no matter how dark you may think it is, David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." And wherever Jesus is, there is no darkness. So it don't matter, you can hit the LED screen too. It doesn't matter how dark it may seem around you. It doesn't matter what's coming against you, because Jesus set us on a path. And he says, "I am with you." David says, "Your rod and your staff, it comforts me." So that tells me that David, when he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he wasn't scared. He wasn't intimidated by fear. He wasn't intimidated by what lied around him. He wasn't intimidated by what was to the left and what was to the right. He says, "Because you are with me." And God, if you are with me, it doesn't matter how dark it may be to the right. It doesn't matter how dark it may be to the left. It doesn't matter how dark it may be behind me. It doesn't matter how dark it may be in front of me. But if you're with me, I have just enough light to take a couple more steps. And if you're with me, I have just enough light that I don't gotta fall. I don't gotta fall into the deceptions. But you see, what happens is we walk through the valley. Sometimes we're in what seems like a dark situation, but the reason it's dark is not because God is not with us, leave that light there, but because we started to move in willpower. We started to make our own decisions. We said, well, I was doing it God's way, but that's not what it looked like on Instagram. I was doing it God's way, but somebody on YouTube, they had a better way. I was doing it on YouTube, but I heard in a diss track one time that if I do it this way, MTV told me that if I live on this side, that my life would be more blessed. I mean, I follow all the athletes on social media, so they seem like they're having a great time over here. God, why aren't you with me? God, why is it so dark? Maybe, just maybe, we begin to make decisions out of our willpower and not the Spirit's power. You see, God sets us free. And he says, "I have a life of freedom for you," but you can't settle for the appetizer. Because as he goes on, he says, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, it comforts me." And as he's walking down this valley, he says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy." Willpower, as I said earlier, willpower is intimidated by fear. The enemy will use your willpower against yourself. You see, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was fasting, the devil said, "Why don't you just make this bread? Why don't you just make these rocks into bread?" And in Jesus's willpower, he would have been like, "Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I should just do that." But that wasn't God's power. That wasn't Spirit power. He said, "No, what happens is we begin to make decisions out of willpower. And rather than Jesus preparing the table for us in the midst of our enemies, we're out here in the darkness and we let the enemy prepare the table for us. We make willpower decisions and then we find ourselves in compromising situations and we say, well, God, well, why did you put this temptation in front of me to begin with? God said, I didn't. He did, because you didn't follow the Spirit. You didn't follow my word. You didn't follow the direction that my Holy Spirit was guiding you in. You took it upon yourself. And now the enemy prepared a table for you. And all the enemy's got on there is anxiety, depression, infidelity, financial issues. Rather than having joy and peace, you can't even stand to wake up in the morning. Because your willpower lets the enemy set the table for you. Every day we wake up as, God, I only want to go where your Spirit goes. Because, God, I know that no matter where your Spirit takes me, no matter how dark it may be to the left, no matter how dark it may be to the right, no matter how dark it may be ahead, no matter how dark it may be behind me, that, God, if your Spirit is with me, it doesn't matter what enemy I come in contact with, you've prepared that table. And so when you prepare that table, it's an eviction notice for the enemy. It's like, ha ha, devil, you thought you were gonna scare me. You thought I was gonna get anxious. You thought I was gonna get depressed. You thought I was gonna fall back into that addiction. You thought my children were gonna fall in the same curse. But Jesus has come, not just to give us a taste of freedom, but to give us a life of freedom, that his promises would dwell inside of us, that his promises would spill over into our children and into our grandchildren and into our cousins and into our friends. Not that we would get satisfied with an appetizer, but that we would be along for the journey, that we would enjoy the fullness of Jesus.
He is singing out for a meaning. Words are full.
Psalm 139, 7 says, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Surely, the darkness will hide me and light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. Even the depression will not be depression to you. Even the anxiety will not be anxiety to you. Even the turmoil will not be turmoil to you. Even what seems like it can't be reconciled is not irreconcilable to you, but by your Spirit, God. By your Spirit, not by my will, but by your will, God, you make a way where there is no way. You bring fresh water where there is no water. God, you bring, Lord, your Spirit. Even when we don't want it, God, you are there.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you are encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.